Amazon expansion and Amazon under pressure. I'm David Brancaccio. There's confirmation this morning that Amazon will buy the Hollywood studio MGM for just under $8.5 billion. Streaming is intensely competitive, and soon to be Amazon are Rocky, The Hobbit, and Mr. Bond. Meanwhile, another office of Amazon is handling a new antitrust lawsuit, this one filed by the District of Columbia, alleging Amazon's e-commerce system fixes prices at the expense of consumers. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more on that.
David, Washington, D.C.'s lawsuit claims consumers are paying more than they otherwise would because Amazon coerces third-party sellers to offer their lowest prices on Amazon. But the issue is that Amazon charges a fee to third-party sellers, and that fee is baked into their prices on Amazon's marketplace. So, say a frying pan costs $20 on Amazon, and let's say $5 of that is Amazon's fee. Well, that seller theoretically could charge $15 for that frying pan on its own website, but the lawsuit says it can't because of Amazon's rules, and that hurts consumers.
All right, this allegation of coercion, arm twisting, how does that work?
Well, what the lawsuit claims is that Amazon is basically sanctioning and even removing third-party sellers from its website if they offer their stuff cheaper elsewhere on the internet. And sellers do need Amazon's reach, David, so the company does have some sway over them.
And Amazon thinks the logic of this suit is all wrong?
It does. It says third-party sellers are setting their own prices, after all, and that it has the right to not highlight items that are not priced competitively. And Amazon says its policies are helping keep prices low overall across a range of products.
All right, Nova, thank you. Now to market psychology this morning. Sometimes you get out of bed and see inflation everywhere, implying higher interest rates. Then sometimes you get up, the sun's shining, your back feels fine, and inflation just doesn't seem to be a big deal. The benchmark 10-year interest rate has been drifting down all week. Inflation, not me worry, 1.56% now. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
The Fed has been very consistent that they're not going to raise interest rates, but the market wasn't buying into it. And so we saw that 10-year rate drifting up. It started the year at 0.9%, but it's been as high as 1.7% and was 1.6% just last week. This week, there seems to be buy-in from investors that the Fed truly is not going to raise interest rates. These increased prices that we're seeing right now in the economy are just transitory while supply lines get back in line. And ultimately, things will get back to normal. Interest rates, as a result, are drifting down and are only around 1.5%.
Aviva's Susan Schmidt watching markets in Chicago. The Dow early trading is down about a tenth of a percent. The S&P 500 is down a single point. The NASDAQ is up 0.3%. The Biden administration's $1.9 trillion stimulus in the face of the pandemic included the biggest expansion of Obamacare since it became law 11 years ago. Now, longer term, there's a new health care challenge brewing. The part of Medicare that covers hospitalizations, hospice, and skilled nursing is projected to become insolvent sooner than expected, perhaps within 3 years. Here to explain is Chris Farrell, Marketplace's senior economics contributor. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right, we need to understand, what is the Hospital Insurance Trust Fund part of Medicare?
The Hospital Insurance Trust Fund, and I'm just going to call it the trust fund, it pays for hospitals, nursing facilities, hospice care, and you know it, it's better known as Part A. And Part A is funded by payroll taxes. Now, there isn't a problem with some other parts of Medicare that you've probably heard of, like Medicare Part B and D. Both of those are financed by a combination of enrollee premiums and general tax revenue.
All right, but there's the A problem, Part A. The dynamic is that the pandemic recession here pushed so many people out of work that we weren't paying the payroll taxes?
That's the core problem. Part A has always faced this issue of insolvency ever since it was created, you know, depending on what's happening to the economy. And usually, you know, the estimates are out pretty far. But the current projection of 3 to 5 years is among the shortest on record. And here's the key point. Whether the insolvency date, the depletion date, is 2024, 2026, it's just around the corner.
Yeah, but I want to, you know, press on you here. Insolvency or depletion date has a connotation of the programs are actually circling the drain. They're not going to shut down in a couple years.
No. These terms are not shorthand for bankruptcy. So assuming no change in policy, nothing is done, current projections are that the trust fund could pay about 90% of Part A bills. And what that then means, and this is what the experts are saying, is they think the most likely outcome is that the Part A bills would be paid, David, but with a delay. Could be a very long delay. And that payment uncertainty, that's not good for providers, and it's certainly not good for beneficiaries.
I mean, but if there is a big boom that follows all the vaccinations, maybe the problem fixes itself. You think it'll be harder than that to keep it solvent?
I think it will because the time frame is so short and you may only buy yourself maybe an extra year. This is something that Congress and the White House is going to have to address because Medicare, along with Social Security, you know, that's the foundation of financial security for older people. And when I've looked at the projections and the solutions, you know, and they're arguing for either Washington's going to have to increase revenue flowing into the trust fund, they're going to have to reduce spending, or they're going to have to do some combination of higher taxes and reduce spending.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
The money news never sleeps, nor does my colleague, Mr. Rizdahl, in his indefatigable quest to get it to you. Listen later on many public radio stations or press a button at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. All from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.